Podcast 51, The Parable of the Sheep and the Goats. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. The parable of the sheep and the goats is one of several parables Jesus tells us before the final events of the crucifixion and resurrection. In Matthew 26, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." So this parable is part of the final teaching series of discourses that Jesus expounds to his disciple. The parable is relatively simple. There are two categories of people, sheep and goats. Now here in New Zealand we know about sheep, we're probably a bit less familiar with goats. In New Zealand, we would probably say separating sheep from goats is a bit of a doddle. They're very different from each other. But in the Middle East, sheep and goats can look surprisingly similar. Sheep are generally rangier and have shorter wool because of the hot climate. And goats sometimes have longer coats and also look similar to sheep. The scenario Jesus creates in this parable is more direct than the other two parables before this. He paints the picture of his return to earth as outlined in verses 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. The nations then gather before him and are separated into sheep and goats. And the criteria for this separation is pretty simple. For those who have done works and been considerate to others less well off than themselves, they are given entry to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus lists the kinds of things these people have done to gain admission in verses 35 and 36. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The people he is talking to protest this analysis and basically say, "We never did this for you, Jesus." Jesus' reply in verse 40 is the punchline for this parable. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And the winners get eternal life. This is stated in verse 34 and repeated in verse 46. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." But Jesus doesn't stop at this point. In this parable, there are winners and losers. And the losers in this case are the goat category that have not done what Jesus listed. They haven't done anything particularly bad to anyone. They're not being censured for being sinful. They just haven't done the good things expected of them. In other words, they've lived fairly normal, ordinary, self-centered lives. Their judgment is delivered in verses 45 and 46. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, exclusion and judgment are not themes that sit comfortably with us in this day and age. We're much more comfortable with the idea that God wants to be inclusive, loving, kind, a God who's merciful to everyone. Yet in this parable and the two others in this chapter of Matthew's Gospel, one of the key take-home messages is about judgment and exclusion. Part of the multifaceted and difficult nature of God that we find hard to understand is this mix of love and judgment. How are these elements compatible? In this parable, Jesus is the judge, and as the Son of God is perfectly able to love as well as judge perfectly. And this is something beyond our human comprehension. Justice and judgment are inextricably linked. God is a just God, and justice requires judgment. Otherwise, it is not justice. But the difference between our human experience of justice and God's justice is huge. I think the message from this element of the parable is God is just and God's justice is perfect. But hang on a minute, isn't Jesus proposing a theology of justification by works in this and the other two parables in Matthew 25? Paul writes in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But to understand this verse and what Paul is saying in its full sense, you need to read on and include verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." So as Christians, we are called to both faith and good works. Both are essential components of an obedient Christian life. We are not saved through the good works we do. That is only possible by God's redeeming grace. But God has prepared a lifetime of deliberate acts of kindness for us to do as an outflowing of the character of God that grows us as a result of that grace which he has given freely to us. This doesn't mean as Christians we have to be overwhelmed by doing a blizzard of good works that we can never do enough of. Rather, we must be listening to the Holy Spirit as we go through our day and be attuned to the opportunities the Spirit is presenting to us for acts of kindness, the ones God has prepared in advance for us to do. Our ordinary day-to-day lives can be filled with small acts of kindness. A quote from Mother Teresa that I like says this, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." Let's pray for God to make us more aware each day of the good works he has prepared in advance for us to do, and then do them.